this house tonight. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you so much. And before you're seated, why don't you say hi to somebody next to you? And God's goodness is in this house tonight. Courtney, great job. Thanks for letting your gift shine today, Courtney. Well, if you were here last week, our Easter service was dynamite. It was an awesome time in the house of God. And we are in store for today with Pastor Aaron sharing with us today. Amen. Amen. Well, the goodness of God is in this house. The goodness of God is why I stand here today. The goodness of God is why my wife and I have been together for 18 years. The goodness of God is why my daughter's up there, my other daughter's over there, and my son is over there. And the goodness of God is why I stand here today. Amen. Well, while you prepare your tithes and offerings, I want to turn your attention to two scriptures today. And I also have a picture that I'm going to share just as an illustration. And I'm going to be talking about spillover. The scripture that we're going to be talking about today and I'm going to read is out of Luke 6:38. And if you're online today, you know, grab your Bible out, share this with somebody, share God's goodness with somebody today. We appreciate you joining. We really do. So turn your Bibles if you can, or your apps, or whatever device you have that you read the scripture out of. Turn to Luke 6. Very familiar scripture, and it's out of 38. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified version. The scripture reads, "Give, and it will be given unto you. They will pour into your lap a great measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, with no space for more. For with the standard of measure you use, when you do good to others, it will be measured to you in return." And if you look at the picture that I have, look at the spillover. Look at the measure. Look at the runover. But I also want to draw your attention. There's one source, and that's God. The water is the source, and that's God. And if you look at the fountain, the source runs right up through the center, right up through the middle. And as we give back to God, there's an overflow. There's a spillover in our lives when we're obedient, when we are faithful to God in our giving. I am living proof of it today. And He will return to you. It will keep coming back, and the spillover keeps falling to the bottom, but it keeps coming right back to us. And the spillover will not just be in your own life. It won't be just in your family's life, but it'll be in the friends that you're in connection with. It'll be with the people that you are reaching out to and you're influencing. The blessings, the wisdom will pour out on them because you will have so much. Your cup, the spillover will spill onto other people. I am living proof. I got close enough to Pastor Marty where his blessings, his overflow, his wisdom spilled over on me. And look where I'm at today in my faithfulness, in my obedience to God. And the spillover just isn't our finances. It's favor. It's blessing. It's wisdom. It's obedience. And I want to turn your attention to one more scripture, and it's out of Proverbs 13:22, and it's out of the Amplified. And we hear this scripture and we read this scripture, but I just want to kind of expand it a little bit, expand your thinking and your territory on it a little bit. Proverbs 13:22 out of the Amplified says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." The Message Bible says, "A good life passed on to the grandchildren." The rest of the scripture says, "And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the hands of the righteous." We can see this happening right in front of our eyes. the Vendetti family, a good inheritance will be passed on from generation to generation to generation. One family made a decision, and now Pastor Aaron, another great decision with Aaron and Ben and a worship leader. And what else is to come? And that's what I wanted this fountain to really represent. One is the center of God, God being the center of our lives, the water that's in our life as we give back. But if you look at that cup, the cup in the beginning, I see myself and I see my family there as that small cup that's trying to make those godly, wise decisions in our finances, in our thinking, in our decision making. And then a bigger cup, and then a bigger cup, and then a bigger cup. God wants that spillover not only in your life, but He wants it in generation after generation after generation. Can somebody say amen? And there's so many ways to give. It's so easy. You can text, you can push pay. There's envelopes in the seat back, in the mail. There's two mailboxes in the back. But just remember, we need to give back to the source. None of that fountain works. Polly, put that up one more time. None of it works if it doesn't come back up to the center. None of the spillover works if that pool does not return back to God, return back to the source so it can continue to spill over in our lives. Amen? Father God, as we give today back to You, as we recognize You with our tithes, with our offering, as the source of it all, God, we just pray right now, return it back to us. But God, most of all, return Your blessing, return Your favor. Let it spill over in our families, in our friends, in our relationships. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody says, amen. Let's give Pastor Aaron Martin a big hand as she shares the Word of God today.
Amen. What a great word that was, Brad. Thank you. Well, I'm honored. I'm humbled to be able to be here with you today. I think it, and hopefully I express it enough, but I really wouldn't want to be serving anywhere else with anyone else and doing life with anyone else than everyone that's here today, and I'm so thankful for that. Pastor Marty and Pastor Ryan, they send their love. They will be back Thursday, and you'll want to be here Thursday night because Pastor Marty will be on fire for God. So you don't want to miss Thursday Life Night at 7 p.m. So before we get started, I have a question today. Any movie people here? Like, you guys, anybody like to watch movies? We have a couple. Okay. So I'm going to read a quote, and it's a famous quote, and I'm sure you'll get it like within the first line, but I'm just going to read it anyway. I fight and you may die, run and you'll live, at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom? Tell me the movie. Yes. Okay, this is William Wallace from the movie Braveheart, and that's all I could picture when I was thinking of this word, was him going, freedom! And this is the word that God gave me, and I honestly didn't understand or know what to do with it right away. You know, I'm just like, God, what do You want me to do with this word? I don't know what You want with this word. And so I'm just praying today that it's delivered in a way that He wanted it to be delivered. But this is what we're going to focus on today, is the word freedom. Let's pray. God, I thank You always for Your love, always for Your grace and mercy. Without that, we would not be here today. And I just pray that You would open our hearts, that we would learn how to walk in the true freedom that You've given us. God, take me out of the equation. Speak through Your servant today. In Jesus' name, amen. Freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again to the slavery in the law. Don't get tied up again in slavery. This reminds me of a story that we've all heard before. Pastors actually used it before. But for the purposes of the message, I will dare tell it again. A gentleman was walking through an elephant camp, and he spotted the elephants weren't being kept in cages or held by the use of chains. All that was holding them back from escaping the camp was a small piece of rope tied to one of their legs. As the man gazed upon the elephants, he was completely confused as to why the elephants didn't just use their strength to break the rope and escape the camp. They could have easily done so, but instead they didn't try to at all. Curious and wanting to know the answer, he asked the trainer nearby why the elephants were just standing there and never tried to escape. Their trainer replied, "When they were very young and much smaller, we used the same size rope to tie them, and at that age, it was enough to hold them. As they grow up, they are conditioned to believe they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free." The only reason that the elephants weren't breaking free and escaping the camp was that over time, they adopted the belief that it just was impossible. Don't get tied up again in slavery. And this is the vision that I saw when I was praying, that we have access to true freedom through God. And yet some of us are living like we're not really free. It's like we've been living in depression and anxiety and fear and addiction and anger for so long. And God says, you're free. You can do this. But something is stopping you from truly walking in the freedom that God has given us. The NIV version says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So why do we walk around that we're still tied to the past, that we're still tied to our sin, like we're still tied to the old way of thinking? We heard the message last week, it is finished. That means no longer are you tied to your sin. No longer are you tied to your past. You are not what they said you are. You are who God says you are. That means it is finished and we live in freedom. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. So why aren't we walking in that light? Why aren't we walking in the freedom that he so graciously has given us? We need to take our brokenness, our hurts, our past, our sin, and we need to give it to God. And we need to walk in the freedom that he's given us. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So how can we walk in that freedom and not turn back and not go back to be tied by slavery? We're going to look at Galatians 5 a little bit this morning. And the first thing is, freedom is not perfection or a set of rules. Galatians 5, 2 through 6 says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. So in these verses, Paul is referring to the laws that the people were expected to follow at the time. And he's explaining to them that you can try to follow all the rules, you can try to be perfect, but that's not going to get you into heaven. That's not going to get you to have a closer relationship with God. Living in freedom is not a checklist that you just check off. How many of you guys like checklists? You guys make lists? I'm halfway good. Sometimes I'm like, this is a week I'm making lists, and I have lists like everywhere. I have a list on my phone, on my computer, on my iPad, and then I forget which list was where, and then I have to write it down. And then sometimes, I don't know if anyone else is like this, sometimes I make lists of stuff I've already done, so it makes me feel accomplished. Like, oh yeah, I did that yesterday, check. I'm gonna write that on my list. But Paul is telling us that living in freedom is not a checklist of rules that we have to follow in order to receive the freedom of God. If that were the case, then the question would be, how good do I have to be free? How good is good? And that's not how Jesus wants us to live. Living in freedom from rules doesn't mean that we don't have any moral boundaries, though, either. It means we no longer try to keep the Jewish law as means of a salvation, as a way to make ourselves acceptable to God. In other words, we know it's not do this, do that, do this to be good. We know it's already been done. We know it was finished on the cross. That's what living in freedom is. It's not about us doing enough to be righteous on our own, but it's about what God has done in Christ to make us righteous. He wants us to live knowing he loves us and he has a better way for us. Galatians 2:20 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, so that I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He gave himself for you and I so that we don't have to live under the law of perfection anymore, but we can live in freedom of his grace and acceptance and love. Freedom is not perfection or rules. Freedom is knowing that Christ lives in you and he loves you. Number two, freedom is following the truth. In Galatians 5:7-10, "You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he's the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you." There are times in life that things are just going good, right? I mean, you're loving God, you're serving him, you're coming to church, you're raising your hands. I mean, it's your relationship with God is on fire. Things may be happening, but you are like this with God. And then something happens. A lie is spoken into our minds. The enemy comes at us in ways that we weren't expecting, maybe in our health, our relationships, our friendships, or our workplaces, our families. We begin to listen to the negativity, and we begin to believe it, even though it's not true. We see what's happening in the world, and we start listening to the wrong people. And that's when our race that we were running so well comes to a halt. I love to bake bread. It's a quarantine hobby, if you will. But when I'm baking bread, it's true, exactly what this verse says. It only takes not even sometimes this little packet to work through the whole batch of dough. So for every like 6 cups of flour, it only takes like half of this packet to make bread. So it only takes a little bit to get into our minds, a little bit of negativity before we're set off course. That means we have to be careful of what we allow in our lives. We have to be careful about who and what we are listening to. The Bible says not to give the enemy a foothold. Don't even put a foot in the door to what he's doing. If we aren't listening to the right stuff, the good stuff, the Jesus stuff, we will begin to feel as though we were never really free in the first place. And that's what it means when he says, don't be tied again to slavery. Because we're listening to the wrong stuff. God wants us to listen to the truth. John 8:31-32 says, "Jesus said to the people who believed in him, 'You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" How will the truth be setting us free? We are faithful to his teachings, to his word, to what he's saying to us. In verse 36, he says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." So no one can take away your freedom, but we have to be careful that we're not allowing the voice of the enemy to come into our hearts and our homes and our minds. Be careful what you're listening to. Living in freedom is following the truth. Number three, freedom is found in serving. Galatians 5:13-15 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the law cannot be summed up in this, for the law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbors as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." He's saying that Jesus didn't give us freedom just to sin, just to go out and do whatever we want. He gave us freedom to love and to serve. I mean, yeah, I can go out these doors right now and do whatever it is that I want to do. I am a free woman. But that doesn't make it right. 1 Corinthians 10:23 through 24 says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. If you've ever noticed, the most truly effective leaders, the most truly inspirational leaders, aren't actually driven to lead people. They're not actually driven to say, hey, follow me, I'm your leader. The most truly effective, inspiring leaders are those that serve people. Because we're not called to be served. We're called to love and serve others. Todd Stocker said, helping others, I love this, is the secret sauce of a happy life. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So if we want to be like Jesus in everything that we try strive to be, right? Our main goal is to try to be like him. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would serve. Jesus loves. Jesus would extend his hand. That's what he did. And so we are called to use our freedom to serve others. Number four, true freedom is fully surrendering. I love this thought here. Near Michelangelo's famous statue of David, four unfinished sculptures line the hallways, calling them the captives. If you look this up, it's true. Some people call it the prisoners, but he's calling it the captives. Michelangelo had planned to use them as a part of Pope Julian's tomb. With protruding limbs and body parts, each piece appears to be a human figure trying to escape its marble enclosure. On seeing the sculptures for the first time, author Theodore Roeder wrote, "When I looked at these partial figures, they stirred up in me a longing to be completed, an ache to be set free from that which distorts and disguises, imprisons and inhibits my humaneness, my wholeness. But just as with these statues, I cannot liberate myself. For that, I need a hand of another. I cannot liberate myself. For that, I need the hand of another." That statement is so powerful. Because in our culture, we praise the self-made man. I built this company from the ground up by myself. I heard someone say that when you go into a bookstore, you don't usually see, how to get there and what fully surrender to God books. You see self-made, self-made, man-made books, how to make yourself. And that's so true. But in the Bible, God's people are qualified by their dependence, not their independence on God. We need to be dependent on him, that he's going to fully finish the work that he has started in us. Because God doesn't want parts of us. He wants all of us, every single part of us. And the fact is, we need him to be complete. We need him to fully be free in who he's called us to be. We can't do this on our own. Freedom is God-given, and every day we can make the choice to walk in the freedom that he's given us. Your past is in the past. Let go of the old ways, the old thinking. Get rid of the things that are holding you back. This is not your life anymore. You don't have to be tied to slavery anymore. Some of us walk in here, and that's what I saw. We even walk in church, and we carry so much on us. But we're living and walking in freedom. Yeah, things can happen, but we can still walk in God's grace. We can still walk in his freedom. We can still walk so that others, when they see us, can see God's light inside of us. That's what freedom is. How do you get it? You surrender fully to who he is in your life. Give him everything. Freedom is not perfection or a set of rules. Freedom is finding and listening to the truth, God's truth. Freedom is found in serving others. And freedom is fully surrendering to God today. How many of you want to walk in that freedom once and for all? Amen. Will you stand with us today? Just lift up our hands to God. If you want to be free, whatever it is that you're facing right now, give that to Him. Give it to Him. Say, God, I fully surrender to You today. I want to walk in that freedom that You've given me. God, we want to find the truth. We want to listen to the truth. We don't want to be tied again to the yoke of slavery. We want to lift Your name. We are dependent on You, God. We can't do this alone. Help us to live free and walk free, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your name is life. Your name is hope. open inside me. Open inside me. Your name is love, a love that always finds me. Always finds me. Your name is life. Your name is hope inside me. Hope inside me. Your name is love, a love that always finds me. Always finds me. Be lifted up. Be lifted higher.
Amen. So I was just over there, I was thinking, we used to do human videos. I don't know if you guys know what those are, but they're dramas to songs. And we used to do one that called This Is How It Feels to Be Free. So we're going to do something before we leave. I'm going to show you the motions, and then we're going to do the motions together. So it goes, I'm going to use your mic. Is this on? Surrender to who He is and what He has for you. We love you and believe in every single one of you.